congregation for these three testimonies of how you showed up, taking in a teenager, meds being taken away, which weren't no longer needed, a change or transformation going on in a life. Thank you for the healing in Richard's life as well, and Gary, and Gary could be with us today. Pray for those unspoken needs that are in the congregation. I just pray that you would just put your arm around each individual. We all stand here needy. We need you. We need your touch. Minister to us where we are this day, we pray. For me, it's humbling every time I have the opportunity to share. You know, and my conversation many times has been with Richard and others. We might be a smaller church, but we are a good church. I've had the opportunity to speak to large churches internationally, and yet we found a little home here. We found a family. And thank you for inviting me and giving me the opportunity to share this morning. I hold that as a trust, as a steward in my hands. Okay? I value each one of you. And what I say this morning, I say to myself, it speaks to me too. And may this just be God speaking this morning. Effie and I have gotten to know each of you a little bit, some more than others. We love you. And we're praying for your pastor that there might be a full recovery in his life. This morning, I'm going to do something a little different. As you probably saw, your bulletin will require a pen. Okay? I warned you, Corey, didn't I? Okay? And your bulletin might require a pen. And that way, you might just recall a little bit more because I have a lot of stuff that I'm going to go through. And, oh, there's pens being made available. Okay? Anyhow, and the other thing that we're going to do is... I will invite, as I put up a scripture on the screen, and if you can see the back one easier than this front one, you can feel free to turn around. That won't bother me at all. Just find what's comfortable for you at all, okay? Or if you want to find it in your Bible, I love hearing the pages of the Bible and so forth. With our topic today, and you've probably seen the title already, the recent events. And today, you know, there's a memorial service for an individual. He was a young guy, 31 years old. I think back when I was 31 years old, I was starting to have a little bit of a ministry. But this dude, at 31, he was an influencer. He was impacting a lot. Whether we politically align with him or not, that's not my issue today. My point where I want to go with Charlie Kirk is that he was using the talents that God had given him to do what he felt was best for his moment and time. Okay? And everybody is talking about who today? Charlie Kirk. Okay? You might not have known about him about 2 years ago or whatever, but now everybody knows. And my wife says, who? When it happened, because she doesn't follow news like I do, okay? And there was a biblically, there was a guy, a young dude as well. His name was Daniel. He ended up having an influence into the life of many different kingdoms. This kingdom come and go, and remember that guy? And he ended up being an old guy, but he was still having lots of influence. Not only was he in that, he had three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that were also part of this. You know the story. And there was a moment when they stood up. They didn't sit down to the issues of the moment, or stand aside, or get out of the way. They stood up. They had the guts to say no to a meal. They had the guts to say no to worshiping an idol, a statue. And Daniel even had the guts to open his window. Okay, we got creaking noises going on. Daniel had the guts to open the window and kneel towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he had the guts to do it. Do I have that kind of guts? Do I stand up or am I sitting down? And you know what? Everybody was talking about them. Whether good or bad, they were talking about them. Richard has been preaching through the book of Luke. And I told him, I tried to blend in with stuff that he was doing, not take over his text. So my sermon is going to be a little more topical today than it's going to be just unpacking a passage, okay? And so we have the life of Christ unfolding before us in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Christ was an influencer. He came for that purpose. And he didn't stand down from anybody. They were talking about him as well. Paul. Everybody was talking about Paul. Another influencer. And on, we could find different ones. And Paul actually says at one point, and if somebody wants to read, I invite you to read as I put the text up on the screen. And let's take turns. That's not just one person. Anybody that desires to read, please read. Paul said that. Can you imagine the audacity for Ernest to say, be an imitator of me as I am of Christ? Oh, there are so many warts and whoops here that, no. But Paul did say that. And can you imagine that? Paul was bold enough, and everybody was talking about Paul in this context. Another way to look all of what we want to call today is called transformational discipleship, where we are transforming, where we will be influencers. Now, transformational discipleship is a big term packaged together, and I will scale that down in a minute, okay? And because it's a mouthful. But it goes smack against just being a cultural Christian, where I go to church Sunday morning, do my thing for an hour and a half, 2 hours maybe, and then I walk out the door, and I forget what it was all about. It's 24/7. It's not 1 hour. It's 24/7. My life is not secular and spiritual. It's spiritual, period. I have to live towards Christ. And so it's transformational. Being transformed from the inside out. Thank you, Randy, for your testimony. Appreciated that. And, it is finding that heart of God, what he desires of me. He wants what? My titles? No. My job? No. What does he want? He wants my heart. He wants my fear, my obedience, my walk, my following after him. That, what is God's desire for you? Is that? So, to continue unpacking this, transformational discipleship is rooted in a ministry of reconciliation. Now, I'm using words. I'm sorry. This guy will get country here in a minute, okay? Now, we got a little longer passage we're going to read, and I want you to look at how many times that one word is repeated. And here we go. Ready? Somebody else read, please. Keep going. Are you getting it? What word is repeating? Keep going. Woo! We keep going. What's the word that's repeated? Reconciled or reconciliation of one form. That's our ministry. That's transformation, reconciling people from where they're walking towards who? God. It's not towards me or anybody else here. It's towards God. And it's our ministry, our intention. Reconciling family. Reconciling friends. Reconciling neighbors. Reconciling colleagues. To who? To God. So the main idea of being an influencer, and we haven't even got to that point where you're going to start writing, okay? We're still in the introduction. That's another I that I didn't put out there as particularly as in blank. The main idea is that we need to keep the end in view, okay? It's not just 5 minutes. It's the end that we want to keep. We have to be holistic. That is being totally involved in the different facets that are involved in our neighbors, friends, and family, etc., and not just preaching the gospel. It involves putting our whole life into that. Whatever it takes to live the life of God. Whatever it takes. I'm in. I want to be in. Okay? Next week, we'll probably be talking a little bit more on that piece. And I'm just referencing it, okay? It's not so much about hearing more information. And hopefully, this morning, you're not here just to hear a sermon. More information. We have come to a point where we have enough information. We need action. We need application. We need to live it out. We need to be transformed into our community, whatever that community is. It's not more content, it's context. Not allowing the distractions that we might have each day, each week, each month to derail us from being influencers or discipling others. I asked somebody that's present today, who is discipling that individual? And the answer I got was scary, because it was only on needs basis. We'll get to that a little more. We need to be about asking the five W's. You know what the five W's are? What, where, when, who, and why. About others. This morning I asked somebody how they're doing, and out came a story. I asked another person how are they doing, came a story. That's where they're living life. But some of us have forgot the who we're influencing. Who are we leading? Who's following us? Who's watching us? When Effie and I were young marrieds, our daughter was, I think, 3 or 4 years old. And there was a couple that we were sort of involved with helping. And they said, we want to have a marriage just like you. We went, oh, that was scary. That was scary. We knew we had to button up. We've been watching you. And you know what? Their kids call us grandparents today. And that's a privilege. Now, back to the whole idea of ministry of reconciliation. We need to keep popping along. I don't want to get derailed. Somebody else, please read. I love it. Corey, why don't you read it? You and I have been talking that one. Come on. Now, so that verse basically speaks to itself. It's something that would be well worth memorizing and keeping it close to you every day. And that every time that there's any issue, go to that verse. Because you're transforming your mind. There's a transformation, not a conformation. You're not conforming to the world. You're being transformed. Now, my topic is gospel-minded influencer, and there'll be a lot of I in this. However, I want you to remember that the I becomes you. Okay? So wherever you see that I, it's talking to you, it's talking to me. Okay? And we're going to sort of get away from the I a little bit, but we have to use it for the outline purposes. Okay? And so anytime there's a word that we're going to fill in, think about, how am I doing this? How are you doing this? Okay? So the first word is intimacy. And I struggle to find a text for this, and I don't think in the bulletin there's a text that's actually listed for this particular verse, and that's coming up. That you will know that I am the Lord your God. It is repeated in Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And this one particular, I'm taking straight out of Deuteronomy. And in Ezekiel, over and over. What's happening to them? It's because they are to know God. It all starts with our relationship with God. We cannot be an influencer if we don't have a deep, profound, worshipful relationship with God. You know what I mean? You understanding? Okay. Then to the verse, and remind me at the end, I can put this one back up there, okay? And this will be the one that we close today. It's the one I have in here, and we sang this. Somebody want to read that? You did a real good job. I want them to hear it again. Could you do it? Could you do it again? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. They still didn't get it. Try one more time. You're doing good. You're doing good.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding.
Me going to college and university is the beginning of wisdom. Wrong answer. Okay, and that's not the final answer either. I won't even call a friend on that one. Okay, where does it start? With the fear of God, the fear of the Lord, and that's where our relationship should start. Now, I could spend an hour just on that, because the fear comes from wisdom, knowledge, understanding. When I understand who God is, now I can live in that fear. Oh, but I can't keep going on that. I have to keep going elsewhere. Okay, let's go to the next I, and you'll understand what's going on there. Here I basically have three subpoints. One is character matters. Being integral in life, character matters. And in in your bulletin, it probably has something about selected texts from 1 Timothy and Titus. You take the passages that deal with elders and deacons. Do you know what? You can't be an elder or deacon. That's where you start. You have to first be a man of God, a man of character. And there's 14 character items that are listed in those passages. And I challenge you to spend time. Again, I have a book written on that topic. I can't spend that much time on this because I just want to get to the end game, okay? But I need to set this up where guys, gals, if you are struggling with character issues, use 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1 to deal with you. And evaluate, how am I doing? It doesn't mean that you will become an expert on any one of those. You need to be competent. You need to be able to basically fly above the clouds on it. Without character, you cannot influence anybody. Now, my second next sub-point is confidence matters. We have character matters, confidence matters. Do people trust you? Are you worthy of their trust? Are you a good steward of whatever God's been placed into your hands? It matters. Do you know what? I'm going to move this aside for a second. Do you know what? I was going to refer to this, but Dave wasn't in the room, and I totally forgot because when Dave did come in because I was onto something else. This is just a small piece of being influencers. It's a tangible influence. I'm talking much more than this, but this is just a piece that's valuable of being a good influencer. I'll put it back, Dave. I don't want you chattering at me afterwards. It's bad enough that I picked it up. Okay. No. But coming back to confidence or trust, it's not what I say. It's what I do. Okay? And I was looking for, okay, I have character, confidence, and then companion. Because in English, I was struggling for a word. In Spanish, I could find the word. But in English, I couldn't find the word for companion. It's really my wife, okay? My wife matters. Your companion matters. Let me just tell you a quick story. We left Venezuela, and God was opening up doors for us throughout Latin America. We ended up traveling to 13 different countries in Latin America. And one of those was Cuba. And the Venezuelans would say, you left Venezuela, and now you're going to Cuba? And anyway, said, yes. And so it was on my second trip to Cuba without my wife because she was at home taking care of her dad, who was very ill. And so I was traveling with another colleague of ours, and we were there giving our seminars. And I did my thing, went home. 6 months later, now her dad had passed, I could take her with me. We went. She almost didn't get in because she's from a different country than I am. But that doesn't matter. We got there, and I was doing my seminar, and at the end of the first session, the first day, one of the guys that had been present the previous time, who had become a good friend, where he and I would spend hours just chatting, all he says, "No, I believe you." I went, "What's going on?" "I believe you because I see your wife." My relationship with Effie matters. It matters. And hopefully you could see that she matters to me. You know, relationships like that will influence when you have a solid relationship. Whatever and whoever that is. And then we also need to be eternal learners. A humble posture. Willing to learn every day hearing, listening, reading, studying, to learn. I'll keep on going. Intuitive. It's the heart and eyes. You have the words heart and eyes, and you could have almost guessed what my word was going to be. Okay? And anyways, it's intuitive. It is allowing your inside to see what's going on around. Here we got just three verses that will speak to themselves very quickly. And again, are you going to read? Okay, there you go. Blessed are the eyes. Do you got eyes to see? Somebody else? It's carrying that rock that somebody else has, maybe taking it, making it a little lighter for that person in order to keep on going. Next. Somebody else. Who's the most important person in this room? Okay, humanly speaking. The next person, your neighbor, the other person. Oh, I got ahead of myself a little bit. Actually, I'll do a little autobiography a little bit here. Our daughter today is doing something very special in their Sunday school class. Just a little bit ago, I invited them to come, but the time just did not work for them to get here. If it was about me, I would be there. Are you getting my point? I was a 10-year-old. And the Lord said, and I want to explain all of that. I want you in ministry. As a 17-year-old, I took steps towards that. My early 20s, I was ordained in front of 25 guys that knew a whole lot more than I did ever at that point in my life. I was sitting in front of them, intimidated. And one of the questions they asked, why are you doing this? I says, I'm not doing it because my dad was a pastor, my grandpa was a pastor, or my great-grandfather. It's because God has called. I actually had a successful business at the time. I left all of that. It's not about me. Today, it's not to drop your fishing nets, necessarily, like we've just heard recently. But it's a little bit that of seeing the needs around, and it's not about us individually. It's about the others. I know about what my status is with my neighbors. With Christ. I know what my status is with Christ. I know that when I die, I will go. Oh, boy. I can sit back and relax, right? No. My neighbors need Christ. Some of my friends that I have basically almost daily contact with, they need Christ. It's about them being able to see Christ as well. I have it too easy already. The next word is being intentional. By the way, do we ever listen to ourselves talk? Do we listen to ourselves talk? 80% of who you talk about is who? That's scary. That's scary. Who should it be about? It should be about others. We got a phone call from Oregon. And for an hour and a half, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, we hear the whole story. And hopefully that person never picks this message up. We hear a story about, and we just have to listen. An hour and a half on a phone. Okay, but we want to be there for that person because that person has a need. Well, back to the intentional. How can we be intentional? I can get so distracted with my bees. Right? I got bees and I love my bees. But I have to be intentional beyond that. Here's what it is. Let's start making the end game be present with us here. Anybody else want to read, please? What is our goal? It's pressing on towards Christ, okay? And what he desires of us. It should be a missional focus. It should be, we press on, and there's this prize. Well, that prize includes living that transformational life and that ministry of reconciliation. We need to be laser focused. We need to be on it, intentional. Often it starts with some good questions. Instead of, you know what, talking about me, turning that around and saying, how was your week? Like I just did, how did God show up? Recently, somebody in this audience, I just said, do you know what your spiritual gift is? Because that person was shining in that gift. You know, and the person had to stop for a minute and think and said something which is close. But it's a follow-up conversation I have to have one day with that individual. But it's when I was in ministry full-time and I had opportunity with a whole bunch of church planters, probably 35 church planters I was working with around the globe. At the beginning of each month, I would ask a question. That question would become the chatter, the noise for the rest of that month. And the beginning of the next month, I would ask another question. It's part of that being intentional. And we can do that even with our friends, family, colleagues. Those were my colleagues, basically. But we can do that within our context. And sometimes these questions will drive to hurts, sometimes to joys, sometimes to just new ideas, needs, etc. How can you help another person get to where they need to be going instead of just leaving them flounder along the way? That requires some intentionality. Now, I'm going to show you a little bit of where my father-in-law would bump in on me and say, Ernest, talk to me a little differently. But I got a big word. Here comes a big word, okay? Incarnational, okay? Anybody in the audience know what that word means? Okay. You got me. You nailed me. Okay. Here it is. Here's summed up. Anybody want to read it? The Word became flesh and was incarnated among us. Does that make sense now? Incarnated means that he took on our flesh, our body, our language, our culture. Well, in that case, it was back there, okay? But he became man. Can you imagine the eternal God? And we're all adults, becoming so small as a seaman. That blows my mind. That blows my mind. So much that he was willing to do that so that we can now have life. Now, since he incarnated and we have to be imitators of him, what does that mean for me? I have to also incarnate. That looks a little different. Now, you know I'm not from Georgia. You just hear my voice, and you know probably I should be saying a. My wife does, but I don't. Okay. Paul did this in a beautiful way. Let's read this, okay? Somebody in the back row over there, or back two rows that hasn't read. Oh, I want to win more. Keep reading. I'm ahead of you. Sorry. There you go. To the Jew, a Jew. To the Greek, a Greek. To the Venezuelan, a Venezuelan. It was a beautiful moment when somebody came up to us and says, "Now you're one of us." Went, ooh. I will never be a Venezuelan. One, I'm too tall. I don't blend in very good. I drank a lot of coffee, but I still didn't blend in. I will never be from Georgia. But I can love Georgia. Okay, and I can love you. And you need to love your neighbor, your friends, your colleagues, your family, and minister in that context. Your context is different than my context. Yesterday with our neighbors, over 200 neighbors came around. Did I enjoy just sitting there selling honey? No. But I was selling honey because I enjoy visiting with the people. And there were some needs that were shown and shared. It was an opportunity to put our arms around somebody and say, "I prayed for you." You did? Yeah. Influencers will look through the twin lenses of Scripture. Ended up putting this behind me. Looking through the Scripture, but also through the context of where we are and how we can minister into that context. Look for those gospel bridges where you can live as Christ. Richard has recently said that. You are the little Christ. He's our Christ. But the only Christ that some people will see is you. We need to be catalysts. The ones that are influencing for this transformation that will happen in the lives of people, this ministry of reconciliation. You meet people every day, different ones than I will ever meet. But you're the one that's in that context. It's yours. It's yours. We do live our life, even though Christ came. Whoops. Gone on. Christ came and dwelt among us. He lived his life, but wasn't consumed by the noise of this life. He was an influencer, and he's been drawing us towards him ever since. And recently I picked up a southern phrase. I'm trying, and I might even say it wrong. You know what I mean? Well, how's that go? Corey and Kayla and several of you always say, "You know what I mean?" And I heard it even on a podcast, Southern Podcast, and I, I hear it different places. Well, my context in Venezuela would be, ¿me entiendes? ¿Me entiendes? It was like, are you understanding? And I'm getting the point, but I mean, I still haven't got the phraseology down. Never in my wildest dream did I think this prairie boy would be living in Georgia. We talked about where retirement would take us, and that was not Georgia. It was somewhere out west, okay? Or we actually planned to stay in our home in Venezuela until it became obvious we couldn't. But I'm trying to be a little understanding. I'll never have the twang of the accent. It's not going to happen. Sorry. You know what I mean. Okay. This is your context. You need an influence. Okay. We need to keep going very quickly. Very quickly. Okay. Interpersonal. It's all about relationships, relationships, relationships. It's about people, 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 people. It's never about me and what my agenda is. Often in Venezuela, I would be working on this next set of sermons or seminars that I had to do. I might be there, and somebody knocks on the door. That sermon stopped. That person became. They would have a question, and maybe for 4 hours, we'd do a Bible study. You know, they became it. The person you have in front of you is it. Relationships are important. Now, there's an affinity between being an influencer and being at peace with all men. Sometimes we are heavy on the grace. We just like to grace into everybody's life. And, oh, it's all lovey-dovey, and we are really nice on that. And the other side, we like to speak the truth. Okay? There's a balance between grace and truth. Grace. Remember Christ came full of grace and truth? It's an opportunity for you to think about yourself. Where are you? Are you available? Are you open for others to knock on the door? Might be the physical door, or it might just be an opportunity that opens. The words, I am busy, communicates. It communicates. It communicates basically, I'm not interested. Okay? Yeah. By the way, Jesus was never too busy. And we had a sermon where he was healing and the people were bringing. I'm tired. No. And you know what? He touched. And everyone he touched, he became unclean. He became unclean. Because to touch a sick person was to become unclean. And yet he was willing to do that. Are we willing to be those kind of people that touch? I'm somewheres here. Okay, we got another one. Involvement. Now, this is more complicated, and I don't have a text here. I just have a concept. I had a professor who said communication is involvement. In order to communicate, I have to be involved with that person. Like, for me to communicate effectively today, I have to be here. Well, I could be on a screen, but it's not the same. Not the same as being able to touch. Okay, be together. Okay, and communication is a process. As I get involved, I get deeper into this process of understanding and communicating with that person. And then communication is also feedback. For instance, between Effie and me, we could be communicating, and she can give me a response, and I go, oh, what was that? And I could respond harshly or lovingly. You know, that's feedback. And in as we get involved with others, we need to watch how we feed back into their life, okay? It's easy to say, I'm praying. Oh, we say that. I see that on Facebook, and I see that in a lot of different places. But do we really? Are we really in that? Do we follow up with what is happening? Sharon, hopefully there's people that write to you, yes, I'm praying, and that you really are doing it. It also includes the one another's, loving one another. Being involved with involvement is loving, forgiving one another, serving one another. All the one another's, I think there's 21 of them or more, that we could just unpack by itself that would be a reflection of who we really are as a body. Involvement starts with my family, then the church, and then the community. Healthy families, hear me, lead to a healthy church, which will allow us to have a healthy community. Having said that, we all live in a form of dysfunctionality. Okay? It could be spiritual dysfunctionality. It could be emotional. It could be physical. We all have some level of issues going on. That when I prayed at the beginning, I prayed for those unspoken needs. We all stand needy. And that's where we could be involved in each other's life and being an influencer. Let's go to the last. Inspired. I look for an eye. I struggle with this eye. So I have to explain it. It's basically share the vision of where we're going. I'm going to heaven. I would love you to be part of that. Okay? Or this church, we want to grow people towards Christ together. I want you to be part of that. It's the contagiousness of what we share. Okay? We have to be contagious, inspired. That's where my word comes from. Do you know what I mean? Okay? Now, in Nehemiah chapter 2, and I don't have time to deal there. Nehemiah, if you remember the story, he goes around Jerusalem at the middle of the night. He rides around on his horse, and finally leaves his horse and keeps walking. And he sees the walls are broken down, and he goes back and says, I'm going to raise this wall. And he starts talking to the guys and says, we need to do something. And they say, we'll raise this wall. And they raised the wall. He shared the vision. They caught the vision, and they acted on the vision. That is what we are going to do as influencers. We are going to share the vision of what Christ is, and then we're going to have a group that goes with us to be part of this. You know what I mean? Okay. In Acts chapter 16, again, it's a long passage. Paul was wanting to go to Bithynia, and he wanted to go there. And all of a sudden, there's this vision. And in the vision, it says, go to Macedonia. And Effie and I have had the opportunity to be in Thessalonica and Philippi. I almost put up those pictures, but it's distracting. But Paul had this vision. And then it says in verse 6, and we went. That included Luke. Okay? The vision is shared, and people respond. 1 Thessalonians 1:8, it says, and the word sounded out from you throughout all of Macedonia and Achaia. That's all of Greece today. And we travel for hours in Greece on bus. It's hours. And yet that little church had influence over the whole country, what today is Greece. God was working. He was doing it through them. In Titus 1:5, he says to this young guy, well, a backstory. Paul had spent a winter or a couple months in Crete. And he didn't have some good things to say about the Christians. But at the same time, he was able to start churches in Crete. And he tells this young missionary, Titus, go to every city and install elders. That shows the influence that Paul had had, but also the responsibility and influence that Titus was going to have. Now, we're not all going to be going over the full island and doing that. But it starts with us as we share this vision. Do we want to grow towards Christ? Yes. Do we want to grow together as a collective way? Oh, boy.
Yes.
No, we are in trouble, Mickey. You said yes, but I mean, there's not enough. Do we want to grow collectively?
Yes.
Yeah. Do we want to share what God is doing here? Hey, we had three tremendous testimonies of what God did this week. There's more. There's more, okay? Now, who is walking behind you? Who's following you? That's the person you're influencing. And nobody's following, you're in trouble. You are in trouble. You need to figure out why nobody's following, okay? And get that piece figured out. Now, if this starts to happen, that we collectively change our families into this church, we're going to affect this community in a big time. And this building will not hold us. Okay? It will not hold us. If we collectively respond, the community will respond. You know what I mean? I have another one. Another I. That's right at the very, very end. It's not written. You could just handwrite it. It's individual. It comes back to you. How do you, I, we match up? Okay? I can't respond for you. There's no response that I can do for you. You have to respond for you. And as you look at this list, could you pick out which one or two or three that you need to work on? There's eight of them. I got a choir in the corner here. Okay, all of them. Then what steps do you need to take to make that happen? Okay. How does being an influencer, a catalyst, a transformer work in your life? Okay, I had an I had a U, but I put up an O. That represents others, okay? If at this moment, I'm going to start to draw you into a conversation. When I was a young guy, I knew what God wanted in my life. There's never been a doubt of what Christ means to me. I've never doubted my salvation. Since I was just a tiny tot, I said in my language, He is here and He has been there. And for me, it has meant at times to do whatever it takes. Some of them have not been easy. We don't have time for that. It's not about me. Because as I turn this towards you, I can only influence and force change here. As I draw a circle around me, okay? As I draw a circle around me, I can only change this person. Okay? I can invite Effie to come, and I did 44 years ago almost. When I asked her to marry me and that we would go into missions together, I invited her to be part of what we would do. She accepted, and we've been on that journey together since. Now, let me turn this towards you. I invite you, if it's all of those points, maybe you can stand up, maybe as a couple, and you draw the circle. Or you can come up front here and join me. But it's on you to decide what you're going to do as far as being an influencer on those eight categories that we have shared. You can take a moment and be on that, okay? And as you do that, please stand. Don't just sit there. Stand if you want to make that commitment. You know what? That's all of us. That's all of us. That's tremendous. Yeah. Heavenly Father, you see the hearts of each one. We've talked about intimacy and fearing you with all of our heart, soul, and might. And making that walk to impact the world around us. Use each one in a powerful way this week. Thank you for their intention to show this. It's not going to be easy. Be with them as they walk out into the mission field. In your name I pray. Amen.